Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Brittany Garoli of MLB.com, the Orioles beat reporter. You can find her on Twitter at Britt_Garoli. And she's on the Bernstein and McKnight show. Brittany, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Wonderful. I've been checking in, Brittany, on this Orioles team since the season began. I have found it difficult to find out what the plan for this squad was. And despite Manny Machado's terrific play, they continue to go farther and farther under the 500 mark. I wonder for Machado and for this team, why wasn't a move made earlier?
You mean like this winter?
Yeah, or at any time, yeah.
I think this winter they tried. That was obviously, you know, in the headlines. They didn't get what they were looking for. As for before that, you know, I'm not sure. I thought that they probably should have made a move last winter, but I think they thought that they were going to give it one more try with this team. And you saw them last year, they thought that they could maybe sneak in with that second wild card, and then they had that horrendous drop-off. So that's really the reason.
I guess if you're going to give things one more go, and maybe this is where everyone is scratching their head, if you're going to give things one more go, then adding Andrew Kashner and then late adding Alex Cobb doesn't really fit that mindset.
What do you mean? Yes, it does. They spent $7 on pitching in the offseason.
Well,
how does that not fit
because they weren't
winning now?
Because they're not very good, I guess, is what I meant.
Well, yeah, but nobody saw that coming. But, I mean, I think you can sit here today and make yourself sound smart by saying, like, oh, they weren't trying to win. But if you look at the money they spent in the winter, I don't know how you can say that at all.
Well, money's one thing. I don't think you're wrong with the Alex Cobb thing for sure. Disparaging 23 innings has been bad.
The rotation.
But
so,
Andrew Kashner's been, you know, kind of bad for a little while now.
Yeah, but you look at their rotation last year, and they're a better rotation as bad as they are this year. They're a better rotation this year than they were last year. So, again, I don't know. Maybe you guys weren't paying too close attention, but I don't know where you can say this spring that they weren't trying to win because all they did was add and spend money. You know, did they do enough? No. But I don't think you can look at their moves and say, oh, they weren't trying to win with this group. That's exactly what they were trying to do.
Oh, no.
You can make the case they should have done the opposite.
I guess you could also make the case they should have done more than if just spending a couple of dollars, that's probably understating it. So I'm spending a lot of money on the rotation is one thing, but counting on veterans who had underperformed for a while, I mean, the Chris Davis contract, the other, it just... It seems to me that they were counting on overaged players to provide something that I think was needed support.
Especially in the context of that division.
Well, they could have gotten, you know, more on base guys. But Chris Davis is, what, 31, 32? I don't know if I'd say he's overaged. But, you know, certainly they could have done more, like I said. But, again, to your original point, they went out and they spent money. And I don't know, you know, this wasn't supposed to be a rebuild year, and they weren't supposed to be this terrible. So... I don't know what else they were supposed to do to try to win with this group on the pitching front than spend $70 million.
Well, I guess we've seen other teams make the move and understand and pull the plug, I guess, a little bit earlier on. And whether that's the thing they wanted to do or not, totally understood. That said, at this point, where they are record-wise, their only option left, I think, is to deal Manny Machado. And I wonder how proactive they're going to be in doing that, or if ownership is going to hold on and just kind of live with what they've got.
Well, they have to be proactive now. He's a free agent at the end of the year. You know, they weren't proactive a year ago, and that's why they're in this situation. So, you know, they tried to sell him this winter, and they're going to try again. You know, ownership already signed off on it this winter, so I don't know why it would be different now. And they'd say, no, we need another month or two of Manny Machado. I mean, that's just foolish. So they're going to be proactive, but they're not going to give him away. That's why they held on to him this winter. They couldn't get a deal for him done that they liked, and now the pressure is on for them to get some kind of return, for Manny Machado.
It goes down every day. That's the thing, because if I'm trading for him, every game that he plays as an Oriole is a game that he's not playing for me. So you end up with sort of this negative cycle here, especially if there are multiple teams involved, of trying to create a market and be on the right side of a market that there's sand through the hourglass that's rapid right here. So aren't they better off? I guess wondering if you take if you hurry into this thing, it's like the first really good deal you're probably better off taking, because with every day that goes by, the teams can just kind of sit idly and the price is going to go down.
Is that how it works, though? Or do you stand around and teams, the price goes up because now they're getting desperate now in July?
It depends on injuries.
Is there
right?
Another injury somewhere and all of a sudden now you got even more of a bidding war? You know, you've heard time and again trades that don't get approved. And then when it comes to midnight, one team pulls the trigger. So, I disagree with that. I think, sure, it's important to see what's out there. If they get a deal that blows them away, by all means, make it. But I don't think Manny's stock drops every game he plays with the Orioles. I think people know what he is. He's a rental. He's a game-changing rental. And teams are going to start to get more desperate as you get to that trade deadline. So I don't think there is a hurry up and do it now. Could they do it in June? Sure. Could they do it later this month? Absolutely. But they don't feel rushed. They're not going to just give him away. They need to get the best deal possible. And to do that, I don't think you want to go in with that mindset of, oh, every game he plays is less for us. I just don't think that's true at all.
Well, I'm saying, but that's going to be the adverse party's position in that deal is going to be, well, look, you know, if I'm getting him for this many months or this many weeks or this many games, it's going to cost me a lot more than it's going to get me for this. Now, if you are waiting for an injury, I mean, you have countervailing forces here, but that is certainly one that the teams have faced and have discussed in the economics of player rental.
I guess, but I mean, if you guys have GMs on, or if you talk to, you know, some GMs in the game, if you ask them, would you rather have Manny Machado for 2.5 months or not at all? I'm certain they would probably say 2.5 months. So, again, I see your point. But I don't think you need to look at it as every game he plays, his stock goes down. I just don't see that at all. I see a player who's obviously coming into his own. He's 25 years old. He's one of the best players in the game. And more you're starting to see division races take shape. You're starting to see which teams might need a player like that to go and put them over the edge. And, you know, again, you've seen a lot of times teams get desperate and pull the trigger at the trade deadline, more so than the offseason, more so than at any point during the year, because they can see the finish line. So if you're dangling a guy like Manny Machado, you don't like the early offers, I don't think you hurry up and trade him for a lesser deal just because this team thinks that 10 or 20 more games with Machado is going to be the difference. I think you wait for the best offer, and when that comes, you make it no matter when.
I think another point in your favor, too, is that Manny Machado himself, and you've mentioned it, is a unicorn. I mean, he's that young, that good, and going to be a free agent. What do they need to get? What do you understand that they want to have for Machado? Does this need to be the biggest trade since Chris Sale, since Jose Quintana, or even bigger than that?
Sure. I think, well, this winter it was pretty clear they wanted two Major League-ready starting pitchers, but you know, they're not going to get that. They're not going to get that for a couple months of Manny Machado right now. But I think what you have to do is look at it almost like the NFL. You have to get the best talent available, whether that's a pitcher, whether that's a position player. You need at least one elite prospect because their system is barren at AAA and AA. They've got some good guys down at like A-ball, but that's 4 to 5 years away. And unfortunately, they're going to be in the same situation with Jonathan Scope at second base, who has about a year more than Manny in terms of under team control. So I think you've got to look at it that way. You've got to get the best prospect you can get for Manny, no matter where they play, no matter who they are. You've got to get the best possible deal that you can. And I think you got to trade Scope. If you're not going to extend him, I think you have to look at dealing Adam Jones. I think you have to look at blowing up the whole thing, because getting one elite prospect is great, but you've got to kind of look at what the White Sox did in stockpiling some of these young guys, because you're not going to win with just one guy. And the Orioles have no depth to the upper echelon of that system. And I think if you go all in and you fire sale it, you can say, look, instead of 4 to 5 years away, now we're maybe only 2 to 3 because we went all in and we didn't do this half rebuild, which they've kind of done over the years.
Can they deal Alex Cobb too?
They could. I think it would be tough to do because, you know, ownership really wanted him. Mm-hmm. Beyond Dan Duquette, who most people know is probably not going to return when his contract is up at the end of the year. This was a deal done by, you know, Lou Angelos and Brady Anderson. This was a four-year deal, a commitment that this organization doesn't normally make. So I would be shocked if a few months in they admitted, you know what, we made a big mistake. This huge deal for our organization, we're just going to have to, you know, totally turn on our heels here and deal them. I think it would be a good idea, honestly, to deal everyone and start young again. I just don't see it happening for this organization.
What level of trust is there in them getting this done when, like you say, they tried in the offseason and for whatever reason it didn't work? They completely miscalculated on trying to buy into a team that has failed out of the gate. Is there, do you have a belief that the Orioles are likely to get this right, or is this just another opportunity for a screw-up?
No, I don't have a whole lot of belief. You know, it's interesting, under Andy McPhail, who's now with the Phillies, they made all these great trades. You know, they swindled people for J.J. Hardy and Mark Reynolds. And you know, they made the Seattle trade with Eric Bedard that netted them Chris Tillman, who had some good years with them, and Adam Jones. And, you look, and they really haven't had that history under Dan Duquette of making these real trades. Now, Duquette's made some good moves, don't get me wrong, but this is a potential franchise-shaping deal here. And, again, there's nobody waiting in the wings. I think it'd be a lot easier to tell fans we're trading Manny Machado. Here's our young stud infield prospect behind him. They have no one behind him. I think there's a lot of pressure on them to get this right. And no, I don't have that much faith in them just based on the recent history.
You mentioned the face in the front office might be changing or seems to be changing. Is that going to be the same for Buck Showalter? And where does his job take him next?
I think Buck wants to come back. And if he wants to come back, I think he'll be back. I don't think, you know, people keep asking about his job security. I'd be shocked if they fired him right now in season. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. His contract's also up at the end of the year, but he has expressed wanting to stay. So if he truly wants to stay, I believe he will.
Very good. We certainly appreciate it.
Thanks.
That's good stuff. Brittany, thank you.
All right, guys. Cool. Take care.
Brittany Garoli from MLB.com, brought to you by U.S. Waterproofing. Basement leaking for the recent storms? Visit uswaterproofing.com to schedule a free consultation.
It's been interesting to watch that club put things together. They seem to, and she mentioned it, they tried to shop Manny Machado in the offseason. We saw the rumors. We saw the White Sox connected to him as much as anybody else were connected. It's tough to tell me that, although they spent the money to go out and try and win, doing so after failing to trade Manny Machado just seems like trying to put a small canvas rag into a large hole in a ship.
And she's not going to agree with me on the timing issue, but per my experience and in talking to general managers, what happens is, again, the longer you wait on an asset, the fewer games I have, the less I am inclined to give you.
Right.
And what also counterbalances the idea of a bidding war is the longer you wait, the more teams are going to fold. Especially this year, with the number of tanking teams, if you don't want to pay for Manny Machado, you're going to have other opportunities to go buy other players much less expensively, so you're going to have more opportunities to fill needs with other guys later on when teams are like, that's it, I'm out,
yeah,
we're done.
It's true, but she's right in knowing that Manny, there is only one Manny Machado.
Correct.
GMs know that too.
And if he's healthy, but again, it's not like you're getting a commitment for that guy to come to your organization for the next 6 years. You can't compare it to the Chris Sale trade because of the contract.
Right, right.
That was the issue.
And Quintana, for that
and
matter.
And Quintana, it's the contract. It's the years of control. It makes a huge difference.
It'll be really interesting to see if the Orioles choose to get into the market now or if they wait for a deadline. I'm fascinated by it. And though I understand, you know, her point in saying that the Orioles don't have to move him now, I can't imagine that there won't be teams willing to put the price up to get him, whether it's now, whether it's tomorrow, or whether it's deadline kind of thing.
When we come back, we're going to give away a pair of tickets to see U2 at the United Center. So be listening for the cue to call. Bernstein and McKnight on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This segment's brought to you by Foga de Chão. Celebrate dad, your grad, or those closest to you with the fresh flavors of weekend Brazilian brunch now at Foga de Chão in Chicago, Rosemont, and Naperville. A lot of people enjoyed the take of Brittany Garoli, how strongly
she's really good.
She
she's
went
really
at
smart.
It. Yeah,
I disagree with her, but she's very smart and knows her stuff.
Yeah, you disagree on the point that they went for it, trying to win.
Yeah, and I get that they spent a lot of money on pitching, but Andrew Cashner is a, oh God, we need a starter signing, and Alex Cobb, though, they ended up paying him.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.